The game was over, and the players hoofed through the tunnel into the locker room. They tore out of their uniforms and piled into the showers. Some stayed in only long enough to wet their skins. Wiping themselves dry, they tumbled into street clothes. When Pop came in, he was startled to see Roy sitting there in the gloom and asked what he was waiting for. No place to go.
Why don't you get a room?
Ain't got what it takes. Pop looked at him.
Scotty paid you your bonus cash, didn't he?
200, but I had debts.
Tonight you better come along with me to the hotel, and tomorrow you can find a place to suit your needs.
At the Midtown Hotel, Pop spoke to the desk clerk, and he assigned Roy a room on the 9th floor, facing toward the Empire State Building. A phone jangled, and after a minute, Roy got around to lifting it.
What's the matter? Red Blow barked. Don't you answer your telephone?
I like it to ring a little. Gives them a chance to change their mind.
Who?
Anybody. Red paused.
Well, Pop asked me to show you around. When are you eating?
I am hungry now.
Well, meet me in the lobby 6:30.
As Roy hung up, there was a loud dum-diddy-dum-dum-dum on the door, and Bump Bailey in a red-flowered Hollywood shirt breezed in.
Yeah, hiya, Buster. Saw you pull in with the old geezer and tracked you down. I'd like for you to do me a favor.
Roy's the name.
Roy is fine. Listen, I got my room on the 4th floor, which is a damn sight classier than this mousetrap. I'd like you to borrow it, and I will borrow this for tonight.
What's the pitch?
I'm having a lady friend visit me, and there are too many nosy people on my floor.
Roy considered and said okay. He unconsciously wet his lips. Bum slapped him between the shoulders.
Just stick around, Buster. You will get yours.
Roy knew he would never like the guy. Bump told him his room number, and they exchanged keys. Then Roy put a few things into his valise and went downstairs. Coming along the 4th-floor hall, he saw a door half open and figured this was it. As he pulled the doorknob, he froze. For there, with her back to him, stood a slim, red-headed girl in black panties and brassiere. She was combing her hair. When she saw him in the mirror, she let out a scream. He stepped back as if he'd been kicked in the face. Then the door slammed, and he had a splitting headache. Bump's room was next door, so Roy went in and lay down on the bed. He lay there till the pain in his brain eased. At 6:30, he went down and met Red in a droopy linen suit, and they had steaks in a nearby chop house. Roy had two and plenty of mashed potatoes. Afterwards, they walked up 5th Avenue. He felt better after the meal. In the lobby, Red said he'd enjoyed Roy's company, and they should eat together more. Roy said goodnight and went upstairs. For a while, he stood at the window and watched the lit Empire State Building. It was a great big city, all right. He undressed and got into bed. In the dark, the bed was in motion, going round in wide, sweeping circles. He didn't like the feeling, so he lay deathly still, tensed and sweating, and groaned aloud. Why did it have to be me? What did I do to deserve it? Seeing himself again, walking down the long, lonely corridor, carrying the bassoon case, the knock, the crazy Harriet with the pistol, and him, cut down in the very flower of his youth, lying in a red pool of his own blood. No, he cried. Oh, no, and lashed at his pillow, as he had 1,000 times before. Finally, as the sight of him through the long, long years of suffering faded away, he quieted down. He thought he'd fallen all but deep asleep when a door seemed to open in the mind, and this naked, red-headed lovely slid out of a momentary flash of light, and the room was dark again. He thought he was dreaming, but the funny part of it was when she got into bed with him. He almost cried out in pain as her icy hands and feet, in immediate embrace, slashed his hot body, and he found what he wanted.